Blog Talk Radio.
Bob Andelman, and this is a Mr. Media interview. For anyone still mourning the departure of The Far Side and Calvin and Hobbes from your local newspaper's comics page, cheer up. There's a weird new kid on the street, and he'll make you forget about your favorite strips from the last century. Leo is the creation of Mark Tatuli, and he's a fresh brand of weird and wonderful, now appearing in more than 250 newspapers, with more adding the strip daily. If Far Side creator Gary Larson and Calvin creator Bill Watterson had mated, Leo is the character they would have produced. Tatuli's brainchild, Leo, and that's spelled L-I-O, is a young boy who combines elements of mad scientist, comic strips, science fiction, and the Addams Family. And get this, Leo never speaks. Mark, thanks for joining me today.
Oh, my pleasure.
Has Leo ever spoken in the strip?
No.
Will he?
Well.
And he never will.
Yes.
So,
I mean, others around him may speak, and he may get visitations from other comic strip characters, but he'll never actually talk.
And, I was talking to a friend whose history of comics goes back even further than mine, and we both came to the same connection. We remembered a character called Henry.
Sure.
Is that close to Leo's lineage in some way?
Well, they're both pantomime strips, what's called a pantomime strip, and those are basically strips that are driven by pictures instead of dialogue. The character is revealed by action rather than words.
Mm.
I used to love pantomime strips when I was a kid. Henry's one, as you mentioned, and there's also was Ferdinand, which was, I believe that was not produced in the United States, but it did get circulation here.
Mm. So Henry was certainly a strip that you were aware of.
Oh, yeah.
And there really hasn't been another one like that in some time.
No, not since like the 1950s. And I just thought with the space that they dial down to, that they actually allot to comic strips, I thought that it would be fun to do a comic strip that didn't have any dialogue and any word balloons taking up any of that space, so I could, you know, utilize the entire space for illustration. It's great fun on Sundays.
Is Leo mute, or is it, he just doesn't speak in the strip?
Yeah, he doesn't speak. His father doesn't speak. None of the characters really speak. Somebody might, you know, show up that you would expect to speak, like, say, Kathy from the Kathy comic strip, or, you know, maybe Calvin and Hobbes or something like that. But and you would expect them to speak because they speak within their world. But within Leo's world, pretty much nobody speaks. There's sound effects, and there's, billboards and so forth, but there's no actual dialogue.
Have you ever, in the time you've been doing this strip, have you had an idea? You woke up in the morning or in the middle of the night or you're in the shower, wherever you get your ideas, you've had an idea for the strip that would have required him to say something, and then you went, oh, and you slap yourself on the head and go, oh, that's right, he doesn't talk. It's not going to work.
No, because I don't think that way when I do these strips. It's all visual, you know. So my brain is just switched to in that mode, you know. So it's odd because I do have another comic strip called Heart of the City, and it is dialogue driven or script driven, and I hear their voices, and they, you know, I put them in situations and I see how they react, and there's dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
But with Leo, because I don't, you know, put any dialogue in, I just don't hear a voice.
It must require a tremendous amount of, what's the word I'm looking for? I mean, focus, to not want to slip and go to words, especially because you have the other strip where you're used to, you know, putting words in people's mouths.
I just don't even think in terms of that.
Mm.
No, that's not even an option. You know, it's the other strip is dialogue-driven, and so, like I said, I hear the voices, but when it comes to Leo, I'm just thinking visually, just completely visually.
And what other rules have you set for this strip? What parameters are there?
There are no parameters.
Okay.
You know, it's really a basic concept. It's just Leo who lives with his father, and that's basically it. And, you know, and whatever I can come up with. I set no parameters because I didn't want to lock myself in. I mean, having no dialogue means that there's going to be no dialogue-driven gags, so I have to leave myself as open as possible to any kind of thing, you know. Mm-hmm. So anything basically can happen.
Now, Mark, you mentioned that Leo lives with his father, and I wanted to ask you about that. Is there no mother?
There is no mother, no.
Is that is he a product of a broken home, or is it the Disney tradition of kids only have one parent? Or?
Well, I can't imagine that a sane woman would stay in that environment for too long. I mean, between the father and Leo, they're a couple of weirdos. So my guess is that she just about had it one day and just took off. But you know, it makes things simpler because then there would be no dialogue between parents or anything. You know, the Leo's father just is kind of his guardian more or less, and he just kind of goes with the flow.
Now we frequently see Leo's father in fairly treacherous situations. How do you envision their relationship? Is he tolerant or is he in fear of his son?
Oh, he's just tolerant. He just kind of goes with it. He just wants to, you know. The interesting thing was that I had written the character of the father when I was out of work. I had lost my job, and I was feeling, you know, just, you know, useless. And I kind of projected that onto this father character here, and he's kind of you know, he doesn't really have a job. We never see him going off to work, and he just kind of sits around and watches TV and just kind of goes with the flow, you know. and weird things happen, but you know, he doesn't ask too many questions because I don't think he really wants the answers.
Now, what are some of the, in your mind, some of the strangest things that have happened between Leo and his father?
Oh my gosh! you know, every day is a new adventure. You know, they've been visited. You know, the father has. Well, I guess one of the strangest things would be that the father went into the refrigerator to get you know, bacon and eggs because he wanted to make bacon and eggs, and he found this enormous egg in the refrigerator. He was very pleased about that. And final panel is the, you know, the egg had split open, and it was the alien from the Alien movie, the original Scott movie.
Right,
wrapped
right.
Around his neck and was on his face. And, you know, Leo comes in and slaps his face, you know, like, oh, my God, he's getting into my experiments again. I would say that's among the most bizarre things. But those kind of things happen every day, and everything's fine the next day.
Right, well, that's the amazing thing. I mean, I love that. It's just like, you know, there's a giant octopus or something, and
right.
or you know. And Leo is so in command of his situation. I mean, is he... What elements of personality does he take from his creator, and what kind of things have you given him that you would like to have in your own personality, perhaps?
Oh, geez, you know, it's mostly about fear. When you're a little kid, everything is. I mean, I was afraid of everything because everything seemed so scary, you know, and things that were even designed for kids seemed so scary, you know. I mean, when you went and saw Sleeping Beauty, you know, the dragon in that was just, you know, really, really scary. Now, to adults taking the kid there, oh, this is a lovely fairy tale we're taking my child to. And then, you know, you get there and there's this enormous, you know, there's this evil-looking queen, the most evil-looking queen you ever saw, and she turns into a dragon and it just envelops the screen, and it's really, really horrific. And, you know, same thing with book illustrations. You know, I remember being fascinated by, you know, Grimm's fairy tales when I was a kid. You know, those stories are just downright sick.
Right.
You know, some of them, you know, that, you know, I remember, you know, the story of Tom Thumb, but you don't know that he actually is killed by a spider. You know, and there was this illustration in this Grimm's fairy tale of the spider kind of coming up on, and Tom Thumb did battle with him, but the spider breathed his poisonous breath and then basically killed Tom Thumb.
Right.
You know, and you know, it's shocking for a kid, you know. So Leo's world is that way. Everything is kind of a shock or surreal or bizarre or scary.
Well, I've read where you've compared Leo to the character that Haley Joel Osment played in The Sixth Sense, and that Leo's world is real. I mean, it's that is his world. But is he the only one in his world who kind of lives and functions the way he does, you know, surrounded by the monsters and the robots and animals and aliens?
Yeah, I'd say he's the most at peace with it.
Oh.
You know, and others, people just don't see those things, you know. They're kind of walking by, or they happen to have their back turned to the situation. It's kind of like it's his reality is just not acknowledged by other people. but they're there, and, you know, and sometimes, you know, it finds its way into other people's worlds, too. But for the most part, you know, we go on with our adult lives and not seeing the things that the kids are just deathly afraid of.
Mm-hmm. And you know, I apologize for even asking you to go behind the scenes and talk about some of these things, because I know if you talk to a comedian, the last thing a comedian wants to do is dissect a joke. But Leo is still so new to so many people, and, you know, we haven't had it for years and years yet. So, it, you know, it helps, I think, to explain a little bit. Now, how do you keep it fresh day after day, and how long have you been doing it now?
Well, let's see. It launched in newspapers last May. That would be May of 2006. I originally pitched the strip to my syndicate in May of 2005.
Mm.
So since May of 2005, I've been basically writing and drawing, you know. So like I said, it didn't hit papers till last May. But, you know, the time between when I pitched it and when it actually hit papers, I had to do a lot of writing and drawing. And, you know, just you know, find out how I actually wanted to draw it and how I wanted, you know, the tone to be. And you know, so I've been drawing it for, I would say, honestly, almost 2 years.
Mm. Is it still exciting to wake up to, or is it becoming work?
Oh, no, it's great. Only because, I would say mostly because there are no rules.
Mm-hmm.
And so every day I can do something different. I can take it to a new place. You know, it's always a surprise to me, and it's an amazing, amazing thing to have a job as a syndicated cartoonist. I couldn't be happier. I'll tell you that. I don't know what I would do with myself if I weren't doing this.
Now, you have done other things, right?
Yeah.
What else have you done besides the Heart of the City?
I started working in the film business when I was like 19. And, you know, I worked in every aspect of production. I did shooting, I did directing, I did editing. And then film kind of segued into video, and then I made my way into 3D animation and that kind of stuff, and doing, you know, graphics for commercials and television shows. And I also was a post-producer for a bunch of different reality television shows.
Mm.
But I always on the side, I did comics.
So it's interesting that a lot of comic strip artists, I mean, they start doing it, you know, from, you know, their early 20s, or, and they haven't really done much of anything else, and you're coming at it a little bit differently. You've worked in these other media. You have that exposure and that familiarity.
Yeah, I'd say the majority of cartoonists that are syndicated had other things to do, or still do. I'd say the you know, ones that get lucky and, you know, come out of the chute and with a syndicated comic, I'd say that's the exception rather than the rule.
Mm. Okay. Now, I'm just curious. Do you have children?
Yes.
You do. What do you have?
I have three kids.
Oh.
Their ages are, my oldest is 17. My middle child, daughter, is 15, and my youngest is 12, soon to be 13.
An endless source of inspiration, I guess.
Yeah, well, they're not as weird as I am, though.
how do they respond? Because this is such a different strip from Heart of the City. How do they respond when they first started seeing Leo? Were they surprised what was coming out of Dad's mind?
Oh, no, they know I'm bizarre.
Oh.
They were wondering what took so long.
Really?
You know, this is just the side of, of my personality that just never made it into Heart of the City. I mean, sometimes it did, and you'll still see, you know, examples of it in Heart of the City, but Heart of the City is a completely different strip from this, which is, you know, the only way I can do two comic strips, because, you know, I sit down and I write Heart, and it's in a completely different way. And then when I sit down and write Leo, it's like I turn the switch completely 180 degrees the other direction, and you know, and that's the only way I could do it. I'm telling you, I couldn't do two script-driven comics because I think that the dialogue would just be too similar.
Mm-hmm. And how many papers is Heart in?
Heart's in about 100 papers.
Okay. Now, were you able to make a living off of Heart before you started Leo? And now that you've got the two strips, Heart's in 100, Leo's in about 250 or so,
yeah.
Is it safe to assume you're making your living off this full-time now?
Yes.
Okay.
That's what I do, full-time comic stripping. I never bathe. I, you know, I clothes all the time. I draw, draw, draw.
Have you gotten to the point where you've had to bring on an assistant to help with this?
No. I couldn't imagine somebody working for me. I can barely stand it. You know, I think that, oh yeah, it might be better, you know, if I pull somebody in to do inking on Heart or something like that. But then I realized I'm such a control freak, which is the whole reason I do comics for a living. I have complete control over these people's worlds, and they don't complain.
Mm.
But I think that I would end up putting just as much work in, you know, standing over somebody's shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
While they do it, so I don't think that's a good idea, and I love it. I love it.
What do you think it is that was so different about Heart and Leo? I mean, Heart, 100 papers is respectable, but it's, as you say, I mean, it's not, you can't earn a full-time living from that. And then Leo comes along, and inside of a year, I mean, it's just exploded. What do you think that you learned from doing Heart, or you know, why did one explode and one, you know, is more of a modest?
I don't know. You know, that's the great unknown. I mean, if we knew that, we could all do it.
Mm.
You know, you could sit down and do it, and the guy across the street could do it. I mean, you just don't know. What you have to do is just be truthful to yourself and write what you know. You know, you heard it a million times, and you throw it out there and hope it works.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't overthink this stuff too much, or you can't say, oh, well, what does the market need? Because it doesn't work. You know, that always fails. Maybe not always, but, you know, it's really, really difficult in the comic strip business to streamline a comic strip to what you think the market wants. You just kind of, what I wanted to do, like I said, was sit down and, you know, bring something that I felt was different to the comics pages. Something we haven't seen in a while was a pantomime strip, and something with a little bit of a darker edge. You know, pantomime strips are generally really, really soft, you know, conservative gags. Mm-hmm. And this one is not that.
No.
And so, you know, I just thought it would be different.
Now, two of my favorite Leos to date, I think they were both Sundays. One was the appearance by the character, the boys from Boondocks, There Goes the Neighborhood, where Leo's family, the moving truck backs up.
They think There Goes the Hood.
There Goes the Hood, I'm sorry, thank you. Yes, and then the one, and it's, and you have to help me with this, because I don't have a stack of them in front of me, but it was also a Sunday strip, and I think Leo was using a spy scope to, like, peek into another strip, like, right? And that was that the one that was turned sideways?